the summertime is coming, and the trees are sweetly blooming, and the wild mountain thyme grows around the blooming heather. Will you go?
Hello! Welcome into episode 114 of Caithness Craft Collective. I'm Louise, and today I've got What's a Crack, the Swap section, Mum 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 section, Me 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 section, as usual, a dram section with a single malt Inchgowan whiskey, and the Shoppy section. I've shoved it back at the end now. I sponsor this for my own energy engineering business, Energy Hunt. Any links are with the show notes, so get your cup of tea or your dram, and I'll let you know what a crack is in Caithness this week.
Hello, 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 hello.
Hello section. A sandy hello to new to me, been with me for a while now and been with me forever listeners. I do appreciate you tuning in and I hope that you're enjoying yourself. A sandy hello to new group members, MMEDFRG, who's Janice, and a main retreater, and she's wonderful and she loves Moby Dick too. Michelle 16, The Sewing Basket, Tig Fur Knits, Bear Blue Skin, and M Ski Knits, who is with Male Videocast and also a main retreater, and well, she's hilarious and she's my new BFF on WhatsApp. Random hellos are to, again, Elaine Who Loves Knots, Karen, The Lost Geek, Bliss Cat, Thistle Creek Farm, Kaz, and Swilburn 77.
What's he crack,
section? What's he crack? If you go down to the woods today, you're in for a big surprise. Well, actually, if you go to your local place of sales knitting magazines and look for Holly Bear on the front cover, bear, in supermarkets, not really anything to do with down the woods today, but I want to sing that. And when you reach page 45 of Let's Get Crafting, the Knitting and Crochet issue 65, then you will see my podcast mentioned. Hello, if you have found me from the magazine. Welcome aboard. And please let me know if you do, and then I'll get back to them and let them know. And it was a complete surprise that made me a very happy lady that day. And it comes with, of course I went off and bought it. It comes with 6 small balls of Christmas coloured yarn and needles and a crochet hook and lots of Christmas themed patterns. I love the Wee Festive Birds by Amanda Berry and the Crochet Angels by Emma Vernon. And what I'd really love to do, if I had the time, or had started in January of course for this year, is the Flat Wee Santa and Christmas Tree Toppers for Christmas Cards by Ali Campbell. If you're on the lookout for something pretty straightforward and laid out for you with the equipment already there for Christmas, then do buy this issue. Look for the red and green and white cover, and then of course rip open the cover and fuck it straight to page 45, because you know me. Etsy shop to mention here. Now, this is our very good friend Laura Gessen. She has a lovely shop of much goodness at www.etsy.com/shop/Summerhills Sheep Farm. And oh my, does she have some lovely yarns in there. So go have a looky and a bye bye bye, lovely listeners. I would also like to introduce you to NH Knits podcast. And this is the lovely Claire, who has been a long time listener of mine, and she went by the name of Far From Harm Farm, but now she's NH Knits. And she hails originally from Scotland, but has been living stateside for longer than she lived in Scotland. So she's now at episode 2, and you can find her from www.nhknits.podbean.com. She talks about her knitting and her spinning and her family from New Hampshire in the US. And we very nearly met when I was over there, but sadly didn't quite work out. So it's nice to actually hear another one of you listeners, what you actually speak like. Actually, scotch. I'd stop, actually. I was in Wick Library yesterday in the St. Fergus Gallery upstairs, and they have the Scottish Diaspora Tapestry on display. The diaspora is where people of Scotland left to go all around the world to do all sorts of things. And this tapestry depicts their stories. There was panels showing tales from Scots going to all four corners of the world. For instance, in America, some of them signed the Declaration of Independence. I've seen their signatures. I should know that. And then there's Eric Liddell, who went off to be a missionary, and lots of other people such as that. Now, whilst we didn't get to see the Australian and New Zealand panels, apparently they were still down in Inverness, but it was well worth the effort to go and see the tapestry. There's a panel from the Stitchers of Caithness, which is not my group, but I think it was some of the Pentland Stitchers from Thurso who took part in the Great Scottish Tapestry as well. And this tapestry was designed by Andrew Crummie again, who was the same artist as the Great Scottish Tapestry. The Caithness panel in the diaspora is wonderful, and it shows shepherds from Caithness going to Patagonia to work, and there's an outline of a sheep, but inside, the sheep's head is filled in with sheep head, sort of, the stitching in it's beautiful, but inside has images such as a man on a horse, the countryside, and they're all interlinked, and it's really good. He's got a beautiful eye for doing that kind of thing. I know it's going into Helmsdale next, and if you see it in Scotland, do keep an eye on it. It's not on the same scale as the Tapestry of Scotland, and the panels themselves, they're square, and I'd say that they were 75 centimetres by 75 centimetres, not quite a metre, but the standard of stitching is exactly the same. And the paisley patterned ones and the Indian hands, they had used different threads to the rest of the panels, and whereas they're all with crewel yarn to do the stitching, so it's a matte kind of wool finish, and whilst it's beautiful, these ones are done in silk. And I had to double check, I had my nose half an inch off the piece just to see if it was machine embroidered or hand embroidered. And I have to say, I think it was hand embroidered. It is exquisite. Partly down to the fact that they've been allowed to use beads and different threads, so it stands out a bit more than the rest of them. However, the stitching on it and the design of that one panel, oh, it was beautiful. That's the one thing I think I'd probably take away from it.
Coming up, it's there.
Now, coming up, if you're hearing noise in the background, it's because I'm hiding in the bedroom just now because the bairns are home from school on holidays, and hopefully we'll not have too much woofing between the dogs, but they've been told to be quiet. Let's see how long it lasts. Right, coming up, the Highland Textile Fest is on at Eden Court in Inverness on the 18th of October, i.e. tomorrow. And this is run by the same people who did the Highland Wool Festival, which we very much enjoyed. And this one's a bit more aimed at the textile arts side of craft, but I expect a lot of the same stall holders. And the lovely Louise and George of the Yarn Garden will be there again. I'm really not that I can't go now, but I am sending some of my Caithness crew of textile artists. Again, this weekend is the Glasgow School of Yarn at the Charles Rennie Mackintosh Church in Maryhill. The event is run by the Yarn Keep. There's lots of workshops and a very nice marketplace, and really a lovely place to go and sit and knit and chat and be with your people. So if you do go, enjoy it. And I am planning on going, I've planned to go to the Edinburgh Yarn Fest, which is a bit further away, and it's the 14th and 15th of March 2015 at the Edinburgh Corn Exchange. The list of classes I mentioned last episode, and it's www.edimyarnfest.com for more information on that. So if you are missed out on Inverness and Glasgow, why don't you book a wee trip to Edinburgh in March, so we could meet up then. And I know that will be, well, there's the Podcasters Lounge, so we could certainly meet up then.
The grandma section.
Here is the mum section. Hello, Mum.
Hello, Louise.
Would you like to say anything to any of our listeners?
Well, for all of those we met in America, in America, it was really, really good holiday, and thank you for all your friendliness, your kindness, and we'll never forget it.
No, that we won't. So back to reality, it's a horrible day outside. We've got a force, I'd say 8 or 7, blowing in from the east. The harbour's closed. Yeah, back to reality. So I find you with lots and lots of knitted items. So can you tell us, the listeners, what you've been up to?
Well, I go to the Baptist Church knitting group once a month now. And it used to be every week, but it's once a month now. So they're being collected tomorrow for the Salvation Army. And most of them are going to sailors that come into Aberdeen. There's one or two items that they're for the ladies, but we've done...
Well, you may get lady sailors.
Well, that's what Samantha said about these white ones.
Yeah.
But we've knitted 27 hats, some beanies and some with the big rib.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all different colours, as you see. And then we've knitted 4 scarves and 1 baby blanket. And they're all beautiful.
The baby blanket will probably be going for the Salvation Army shop. Or some little bairnie that needs it.
Yeah, there's a bairnie's hat there and there's...
Not the sailors.
No, there's a little bairnie's hat in there.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, will sail in the... that's just beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah.
The scarf and the hat matching.
Mm-hmm. It's a kind of... chevron, no, scalloped the kind of... I asked if it was crocheted pattern.
But it's knitted.
Yeah, it's lovely. I've got some photographs of these for you on the Flickr photographs because I've taken a few. One with Mum faffing when she was putting them out because she likes things just to be just so, don't you, Mum?
Well, I just said, do I? Do I?
Fuss? Oh, yes, you do.
Yes, I was told that.
But that's how I turned out so nicely because you did faff. Otherwise, it would be the mess.
So tomorrow we're going to take it down. There's somebody coming up from Aberdeen to collect them. And so we're looking now for the next charity.
Oh, lovely.
Mm-hmm. We'll have to decide for over the month to see if we could see anything, what we want to knit for.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's some nice hats in here. There's a couple that have got cables on them. Mm-hmm. And the scarves as well. There's 2 there that have just pure rib all the way through. Wow, that's a lot of ribbon.
Yeah.
Wow. It's a nice long scarf, though.
Mm-hmm. It'll be nicely warm.
Yeah, nicely all the same kind of tension all the way through, too. And the baby blanket, it's crocheted in a sort of shell pattern. It's really going to be nice and cosy on a pram, I think.
And it's cream in the like a purple and white mix. It's very pretty.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even see anybody at the group doing that. So, you know,
lovely.
It could have been donated or somebody might have been doing it at home.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's just hope we keep some of our sailors and associated visitors nice and warm.
Yes. This is the second time we've done this and we'll get a nice thank you from the army officer who distributes them. Mm-hmm. It's sailors that come in from hot countries into the cold northeast of Scotland,
yeah.
Into Aberdeen. And they've got a really good place there where from the Salvation Army that distribute all these hats.
Aye.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Mum.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I have photos of the hats on the Flickr account LouiseJ2010 if you'd like to see them, and of course the baby blanket. I've seen photos of the sailors and fishermen getting these hats in one of the fishing news newspapers once, so I know that they're well appreciated. And on days like today, they're going to need them, because you might hear the wind in the background. We're actually going to go off to Dunnet Forest to walk the dog today, because going down to the harbour is a bit too exposed. Ugh.
The swap section.
Swap. The current swap is the calendar of your local area and some 2 bits of stationery as well. And it is almost finished on the fact of the deadline was 2 days ago. So if you've not yet posted, please do so at your earliest convenience. Obviously, if you're waiting on your calendar coming, because actually it's still a little bit early. I think maybe next year we could do this again, but have it a little bit later and have it as part of the Christmas swap, I think. Just because I didn't realise this either, but when we was organising it, I just thought about timing of sending things out before the Christmas swap. But calendars aren't all out there, are they? Especially not the local ones, because the local ones are a little bit less well planned in advance, as it were. So if you've not posted, certainly let your swap partner know why you've not posted, and if there's a valid reason, that's cool. If there's not, stern look over the glasses, pull your finger out, people. And you've been actually very, very good on the group, I have noticed. And have a little gold star. Do you remember them when they used to peel them off and put them on your homework if you were good? I'm so old. Right, the next swap. Well, it is the Christmas tree decoration swap, or winter swap if you don't celebrate Christmas, but you want to join in anyway. If you don't celebrate Christmas, please let your swappie know so they can buy or make a relevant item. And this is going to be the same as last year. A Christmas tree decoration which can be made by you or bought, but if you are buying one, please make it a really nice one, and even handmade by someone else one. And three items of crafty holiday fun. I'll put a sign-up sheet for you in Ravelry, and please go there and sign up by the 5th of November and send out swap by the 15th of November. And then this will mean that everyone around the world has posted theirs and received theirs before the Christmas posting rush. And then we can put them on our trees for the whole Christmas period. And crafty holiday fun items, it could be anything. Make your own Christmas decoration. Here I made this one, and here is three more kits put together of how you would do it. Or say you saw some card making kit, and you know the person's into making their own Christmas cards, and or a little calendar kit or something that you can sit down and have a little bit of crafty time. Doesn't necessarily mean need to be knitting, or it could be. You could have the pattern with a little amount of yarn for it that it goes with. So I think this will let your creative juices going. And obviously a wee note, possibly a Christmas card to explain what you've put in the envelope. And then all the rest of the usual rules apply. Let your swappie know what's going on, if you're going to be late or if you're going to be early. And if you can post pictures to the Ravelry board, that's cool. If you can't, hello, that's me, link if you can to where you have posted a photograph, because most of us have got social media of some sort. If you can't do that, that's fair enough, but just make sure that you've put a good description of what you got, because if anything, it shows that A, you're a good swappie, B, you've done your homework, and C, I'm not going to shout at you. Okay, that's a small print over. I might record that and just put that in the small print. You know how the adverts have these terms and conditions apply? Blah, 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 blah. Right. Speaking of Christmas, I have a new segment.
Ding dong, ding dong. Christmas is coming.
Christmas is coming. You hate me, don't you? It's going to be really good if you're listening to this in June. Right, as today stands, we have in 2014 a grand total of a few days until the big day of Christmas. That's 9 weeks of ignoring the fact and lots of procrastination, if we're actually honest. However, I thought that we could do and have a bit of a segment to see what we could do at appropriate times instead of the usual last minute, oh, Kirsty also made soap. That's a great present idea. Oh, no, it takes 6 weeks to stew, darn it, and it's only 2 weeks to Christmas. So, this week, my favourite thing, flavoured vodka or gin. Old listeners, you know this one. New listeners, right. Get your punnets of fruit in the cheap part of the supermarket or farmer's market. They often have loads of them. And if you see them, grab them. And especially late season raspberries. And if you're a lucky down souther, there's brambles are ripe and ready to pick just now. So get your as good a quality of vodka or gin as you can afford. And if you have an extra bottle, cool. If not, use a spaghetti jar that has a sealable lid on it. So you decant some of your alcohol over 3 tablespoons of sugar to 1 litre of alcohol. And then as much fruit that you can mush into the jar or the bottle. Once it's in, close the lids over, wash your hands and put it away for 6 weeks. and you shake it gently every weekend. What? There's more than 6 weeks to Christmas. Yes, of course there is, my little listener friend. On week 6, we test it to see if it's fruity enough flavour. And then we can either sieve out the fruit or we can leave it and sieve it as you drink it. I don't suggest trying to do anything much with the fruit pulp. I suppose you could put it into some kind of baking, but I've not yet found what baking would do suit it best. Answers on a postcard for a suggestion here, lovely listeners, because you know we hate the waste. And then you have some lovely flavoured alcohol 3 weeks before Christmas, just in time for all the friends and relations you'll have visiting, or you can get some pretty wee bottles or jars organised for Christmas presents. Now my pals love these presents, let me tell you. And also, before we move on, may I suggest you consider which Christmas card you design you are going to do if you're making cards this year. Start getting things organised. You have 3 weeks less to get them finished. So we'll talk about them in the next episode.
The beaker section. Me section.
My lush cardigan. Oh, poor thing. I got even more demoralised this fortnight. It's probably listening to me in the back just now because I keep it in here. When I took its needle out altogether and I replaced it onto a knit pit circular cable, I put the stoppers on and I apologised to it and I put it back in its back. Now the reason being, shouldn't really say it too loudly in here, oh no, if knitting was real, if knitting was alive, I should have said, because it is real. Because of course Louise lives in La La Land all the time where it's pink and fluffy in there. And there's no bad things that happen in the world. Now, I wanted a cast on Upstairs Downstairs Cowl by Paula Emmons-Faisley of the Knitting Pipeline fame. Hello, Paula! She's answering me back there in my head. I can hear her. And when I was out running in the morning, I met Paula when she was out for her morning walk and there's me running back. Hello! So that's what I think of when I say, hello, Paula. That's me and her waving at each other as I'm running and she's walking. Okay, right. So this cowl calls for sport weight. And that's 5 ply to you and me. And it takes 2 skeins of Quince & Company chickadee. Now, I have 4 skeins of chickadee in a peacock green, which is excellent because I want to make 2 cowls. One for Valerie from Textile Artists, who gifted me the box of tartan, and one for Ella of Textile Artists, who gave me a bag of material which matches the tartan. They are all de-stashing, and I didn't want to get them replacement material, so I thought that they might enjoy the gift of a cowl, sort of as I got from Debbie, only not quite as spontaneous. This one's a bit more contemplated and discussed as to what to get them. Anyway, I cast it on with a circular needle. I like the yarn very much. I've knitted with it before. It's not as common over here, so it's a bit of a treat, this yarn. And it's soft and the matte colour and it knits like a dream. I'm making the smaller of the 3 sizes that you get. And then I realised that this circular needle will require me to magic loop the cowl because of the length of it. I did measure it, but I got 2 rows in and thought, I hate magic loop. I'm just not going there. So I ripped it all out and I have to cast it on with my nice long DPNs. It was suggested to use 2 circular needles, but the reason I had to take it off the cardigan in the first place because it's the only circular size 4.5mm needle that I actually own. I have 2 Knitpicks Pro Tips in size 4.5, but one of them, the thready part on that where you would thread it or screw it onto the cable, has threaded and it will not stay on. And whilst I could glue it on, then I'm losing the joy of my interchangeable needles. I suppose I could always buy another cable to replace it, or some new tips, but I like more about it more, you know. And I'll quite happily use my DPNs. Now, I do have a hat on the needles. It is the mad yarn that I bought at the knitting shop in Kennebunk. And this is the one with the pom-pom that you sew on to it. It's a mainly blue ball of yarn, which has different flakes in it. And I asked Sandy if he would like it because Daisy was getting a rabbit. And I'm using my DPNs, but a bigger size. And I'm doing a 4x4 rib. And I think I'll just keep on ribbing all the way up. I had to cast on three times. The first two because I thought it would be too small. And then I actually did a tension count size and worked out that I still needed a few more. So this one's third time a charm, as the twin designs say. Hello Ellen and Jan! I have actually got their wee dollies that Turbo Gal knitted. And oh, they're intricate. They are beautiful. And I have to take photographs of them out and about in Caithness and then post them on their trip around the world. And I was waiting on better weather to take them out and about, and the day it was good enough, I kind of forgot to take them. But I will do it shortly, Turbo Gal and Jan and Ellen and Louise Tilbrook, who's waiting to get them next. So they will have fun. They're upstairs just now rummaging around in my craft room. It was only fair because I got to rummage around in actual Jan's craft room. Oh, it was brilliant! Yeah, and then it was a good job that I was on my weight limit already for taking stuff home, because otherwise she would have had to check my suitcase. Oh, there was some beautiful yarn and books, and yeah, that's one of my happy places, is Jan's craft room with Jan in it, but she's not actually interfering with what I'm playing with, if that makes sense. She's just sitting at the computer organising things and telling me where the lovely stash is. Sorry, I digress. We're back in the room now. The knitting has stopped, though, because I've been making tartan bags. I had promised a couple from the main retreat, and I was really happy to post them out yesterday. Do you know, I can't get these bags made quick enough for the shop just now. I had made 9, and 4 were for presents. No, 3 were presents. Well, hold on, I'll need to use my fingers here. It's brilliant because my mum now has her sewing machine fixed, so thank you one and all. It really is brilliant, and I feel quite useful in the world. I have a place. I've also discovered the correct use of a bit of metal that I've had in the sewing machine basket and never used before. Well, I did try to use it, but with absolutely no success. I had it for quite a while. What is that? Seriously, it's like a bench skewer. And I think it's the best description I could think of. It's round and it's about 10 centimetres long, and it's bent at one side. And you poke into the back of your sewing machine foot and then you screw it down so it stays. And the bent part is to give you a guide. And so I screw it in the foot part, and it's a measure to how far along I want to sew from an edge or a line already sewn. So it doesn't actually touch the material, but it kind of goes over the top of it. It's used in quilting more than anything, when you are sewing the layers of a quilt together and you want to follow the line. Well, lovely listeners, it is perfect for me when I want to sew the double line track that I need to put in the drawstring of these drawstring bags. I measure, I pin the first line, and then I can use the wee quilting line skewer, because that's what it's going to be called now, to help me keep a straight on the second line. I love it when you find the use of something that you've had for ages and you didn't know it was, but then I mourn the times where you could have had it. And whilst I've been able to do these double tracks, this is so much easier. It just takes the stress straight out of it. Oh, back to the knitting. I finished the Opal Mini Sock Yarn Bunny by Susan B. Anderson. Oh, I love Susan B. Anderson. I've used Knitpick's Imagination in Damsel colour, which is a dark pink, light pink, dark pink. Everything in between pink. Yeah, I never changed my script much there. Daisy claimed it and called her Jacy, or Chasey, if you're from Caithness. Chasey. I loved this pattern. It's very clearly written, and I would utterly recommend it for a wee gift for a wee bairnie. Or if you're a big bairnie, because I was quite tempted to keep it. However, Daisy actually, normally with toys, she goes through phases of them, but she seems to really like this. And I even did a pom-pom too. And you can get the pattern via Ravelry, and I would like to thank Susan B. Anderson very much for her lovely mention on her blog, re-meeting me at my shop. And loads and loads of people came by for a look at the shop, and it was empty. However, it will be refilled and refilled and refilled. I finished listening to The Killing by David Hewson, based on the screenplay by Soren Sveistrup, And the Clapper version is narrated by Christian Roldskat, which was very good. I really recommend it for a crime novel with a lead detective who's a woman, and it was good. Have you noticed that in most crime novels, the lead detective's always a bit damaged? Not so much as in mentally damaged, but things never quite go right for them, such as Rebus. And then Tom Thorne, and now Sarah Lund. But it was quite good, she was a woman, so I quite like that. Although, you know what? I really didn't like her near the middle and the end. I was just, yeah. I loved the Jumper references. The Jumper was a character. This book has got more red herrings and twists and turns than a paint-bombed fishmonger's at the top of Rapunzel's staircase. Well, I very much enjoyed it and I would recommend it to you. Based in Denmark, extremely good. I was at Textile Artists on Tuesday and enjoyed it. I was needle felting Caithness flagstones onto my embroidery piece of the skyline of Caithness of the hills, which should really get kind of finished. And it's a way easier way of filling in a large area quickly. Although it does need a fair bit of work yet. I had bond-a-webbed some voile over the top for the sky and will need to go back and embroider some wispy clouds and possibly put a bit of scrim on top of it too. I had cut up some felted on purpose cardigan and I had needle felted, this is separately, this isn't onto this, some random patterns with the intention of going back over with embroidery and some beads for my brooch. Now, as we go around the table, the ladies were sewing on their brooches. Catherine has a piece of Hessian scrim that's very much, that's like a very open sack-like material, and she's weaving into it with some sari silk. Celia was French knotting a brooch. Anne was making a beaded necklace from felted, hand-felted small round balls. And Valerie was just visiting. Celia did come in with some Christmas cards that she'd bought, and they were made of material stuck and hand-embroidered on to look like camels and the Three Kings, and the other one, I think, was the nativity scene. They take up very little material, and scraps can be used wisely here, so they're going to try them next week. Now, I mentioned with Mel, and I've been chatting away with her for doing something that she will be talking about in her video cast. So, if you want to see the lovely Mel, and she is genuinely that smiley in real life. She is just lovely. So, watch her video cast, and shortly she will be telling you what we've been chatting about. A wee bit of a teaser for you. In other me news, I got my yellow belt in Kuksul Won martial art. I'm officially a ninja. Don't be messing with me then. Or rather, only if you stand there and say, just so, and say technique number 4, because I can remember that one without prompting. Well, I did practice a lot, so I felt like I earned all but form 4. So I was quite chuffed, quite chuffed.
Go.
Drams. On to the drams this episode. After this, there's the blah 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 and the shoppy section. So if you're not into the drinking or the shopping, then thanks for listening and I'll catch you next episode. If you're into the drinking, then stay tuned. This episode sees Richard and I, with special guests of Stacey and Dan, drink a single malt Inchgowan whiskey.
We're dramming. We're drumming. We hope you like drumming too.
Hello.
Hi.
Welcome into this episode of The Drams. And this episode we have a very special guest of Yarn Salad Stacey.
Hi.
And her lovely husband Dan.
Hi. Who also goes by Flounder Guts.
On Twitter. So we are very, very fortunate, Richard and I, to have the guests of Stacey and Dan tonight. And they very lovingly brought us a little boxy and bottle of whiskey from the whiskey shop. And it comes in a box, and we measured this. We measured the length, but I forgot to measure the width. But it's 7 inches, and it is a burgundy brownie colour, and it's got a very nice logo saying the whiskey shop. So that is the very plain box, but I think it's from... I know it's from the whiskey shop, but the inside box is quite interesting. Would you like to pass me
the whiskey bottle? Shop in Fort Boyle?
Yes. Would you like to pass me the bottle, Mr. Hunt? Thank you. Now, what shape of bottle is this?
Medicine?
Yeah, I was going to say cough mixture.
Yeah, apothecary just bottle.
Exactly like that. And on the front, it has a sticky label. And on the back, it has a sticky label. And it says single malt Scotch whisky, Glencairn Treasures, or special selection. The single malt whisky is exclusive to the whisky shop, having been chosen after a rigorous search.
Rigorous.
We have uncovered a hidden treasure, and supplies are extremely limited. Product of Scotland, 40% volume, 20 centilitre bottle, which is just enough for a dram between friends. There does not say drinkresponsibly.com on this bottle.
That means we have carte blanche to drink irresponsibly.
Love this kind of bottle. It's lovely.
Louise is petting the bottle.
I am, yes. Now, on the back, it's got a wee label, and it's in handwriting. It says Inchgower, 6 years. It was 2008, date filled to cask. It was date filled to bottle, 2nd of October in the year 2014, which was actually would have been my grandma's birthday. And authenticated by your chairman, but you cannot read his writing. Oh, Ian P. Bankier says it printed underneath it, and read that. So, lovely bottle.
Stacey chose it.
Thank you very much, Stacey.
Thank you.
Thank you, very kind. We shall open it in a second, but we want to hear why you two are here.
Well, 3 years ago, I have to back up further. A dear friend of ours, while we were still living in Canada, decided he was going to move to Scotland. So he did, and then not long after that, he met a lovely woman from
Edinburgh,
and announced 3 years ago that he was getting married in Scotland at some point. So we've known about this wedding for 3 years, and then maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago, they set the date for it, for October 9th, 2014, in Oban. So we decided no matter what, we have to go, and our life has taken a bunch of turns since then, but... Even though I'm in the middle of grad school and Dan's working, we made the trip anyway. So we came to Scotland to go to Iona first and then Oban for the wedding. And then, of course, if I'm going to come this far, I need to go all the way up to Caithness to meet Louise and Richard, because I've been listening to the podcast since 2010.
Wow. She's one of the Been With Me Forever listeners.
Mm-hmm.
We're much welcome to Yarn Salad, Stacey, who is the person who friended me first on Ravelry and got me onto Twitter.
Really?
It's all your fault.
Oh my gosh.
No.
She got you onto Twitter?
She did.
Oh,
she asked me.
That's a strike against you.
I love Twitter.
Me too.
Yeah, but it's addictive.
You're on it too.
I know. That's how I know it's addictive.
Moving on.
Right. So we're going to go back to the whiskey. And what would you say the colour in the bottle is?
Pee.
It's dehydrated then.
Dan.
I think it's straw coloured.
Okay, well, I'm going to go with Barbie here.
I was going to say a kind of manky, dirty Barbie.
Yeah, I'd say she's been out in the field. And in fact, she was out with me and Buchel and Daisy today picking onions and rolling around in the dirt.
A dirty Barbie.
A dirty Barbie, but only in the
context
of being rolling around in the dirt.
Manky, dirty Barbie.
I'd like to point that out. Right, would we have the cork, please?
Okay. There's no cork.
It is a screw top, because it's a fancy schmancy bottle.
I'd just like to point out that one of the other whiskies that we looked at the whiskey shop was Cloudy.
Yeah.
Get up with the filter.
Non-chill
filtered ones. Yeah. Yeah.
What did you put the lid back on for?
I was just so you don't spill it.
Oh, good point. I'm having a wee sniff.
I was going to pass the lid around if you had a wee sniff.
Yeah. What would you describe the smell as, Richard?
Quite a fruity kind of bouquet to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's very sweet.
Yeah. It's sweet and fruity.
You might hear Quattro in the background snoring. He's by the fire. We've lost Buchel to the couch.
To me, it's got a little bit of an isopropyl character. Sorry for the big word. But
so Dan's a distiller.
Yeah.
And he speaks fancy words.
He speaks science.
Would you like to explain what that is?
Well, isopropyl is what they put in rubbing alcohol, so it's just that sort of burning flavor with, I don't know, flavor, smell.
Mm-hmm.
It's just what I associate with when you first uncap whiskies. They have that coming off.
Some of them can do. Would you like to pour the dram?
I certainly shall.
How much would you like in this dram?
I thought a dram was a measure.
Yeah, drams a measure, aye.
Oh, but you get
domestic measures. You get domestic drams.
Aye, do you want a lot or do you want...
Half a finger for me.
Half a finger for you.
Any particular finger?
My little one.
Do a sort of smell in the glass before we put the water in.
And a wee swirl as well.
It's less strong, I would say. It smells like whiskey.
I'm smelling the fruity now.
Yep.
They know things. This is good.
It smells quite nice.
I'm
getting a kind of barley kind of smell to it as well.
Yeah, it's got a little bit of a...
A kind of wee toffee smell there as well.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Could I have a drop of water in this, please?
Certainly. Have you had your sip already?
No. I let put water in mine first.
That's more than a drop.
Thank you.
Oh. Give it a little drop.
Not yet.
The water brings out the good.
I always find that it releases the oils in the whiskey and it takes away the warmth of the alcohol, such as the robin smell.
Mm-hmm.
And I shall now taste mine. Ooh!
It's got a bit of a blackberry smell.
Maybe I will try a bit of water then.
Do you know what? I was expecting a burn, but it does not. It sort of comes in to help, think it was going to burn, and then it doesn't. It just goes down very, very smoothly and very nice. Tastes
not
like whiskey.
Not much of an after, like a lingering taste in it.
No. There's no smoke or peat. And everything over and above that's up to you
guys.
I'm getting
a wee bit of vanilla aftertaste, but nothing.
Oh, there's a lot, yeah. I taste a lot of vanilla.
But nothing. It's not strong. It's not... Like you say, I was expecting it to be quite burny, but it's not at all.
Mm. Stacey, what would you explain your taste like?
Well, I'll back up with a little story here.
Mm-hmm.
My friends, Steve and Tony, who I lived with while I was waiting for immigration... They had been trying at that point for 10 years for me to get me to try whiskey, to like whiskey, because they are big whiskey fanatics. And I couldn't do it, for whatever reason, especially not the peaty stuff. But so since my husband has been a distiller, I've gotten very interested in spirits, and lately whiskey, of course, especially with coming here. And, you know, I can drink this. I'm pretty happy with this, especially with... A little
it's
bit of
quite,
water in it.
Very palatable.
Mm.
It's nice.
Yeah, it's...
I don't know what to expect, but, you know, being... Yeah, I always try and keep an open mind, but being 6 year old, but it's nice. It's not an overwhelming flavour to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a strong, lingering flavour, and it certainly doesn't have an aftertaste, having a wee bit of vanilla.
Yeah, it is easy.
It's easy to drink.
Thank you. Would you like to explain what you taste?
It tastes like an old barrel, which I quite like. It's...
An old... Barrel.
Old barrel, yeah, you know, like a whiskey barrel.
Ah, right.
Because often the American whiskeys that I get to drink most of the time are really, really oaky. And that's what they taste. They taste like oak. And the oak here is nice and subtle, and it's got a little bit of a butterscotch and blackberry flavor, I think. And a really nice finish. A bit grassy, maybe.
Isn't this brilliant, listeners? You never get this kind of description from me because it all tastes like whiskey. Listeners will be delighted with you. You can come back every 2 weeks.
Good whiskey, bad whiskey, right? I mean, this is quite nice. I'm happy to drink this all night.
Well, we've got half the bottle left.
We have other whiskeys.
That's true.
Right, so, Rich, you looked up Inchgower.
Oh, Inchgower.
Where the whiskey is from, and...
You want a little bit of a couple of paragraphs about Inchgower?
Because then some of your references might make sense.
Inchgower. The Inchgower Distillery was founded as the Great Distillery of Inchgower in 1871 by Alexander Wilson & Co. It was intended that Inchgower would utilise the buildings and equipment of the old Tochineal Distillery. The Inchgower Distillery lies in Banffshire, not far from the mouth of the River Spey and just in the outskirts of the fishing town Buckie. The distillery was bought out by Buckie Town Council in 1936, following the bankruptcy of Alexander Wilson & Co. 2 years later, Arthur Bell & Sons acquired the distillery for £3,000.
During the 1960s, Arthur Bell and Sons renovated the distillery and installed a further two stills, doubling the total capacity to a little less than 2 million litres annually. They also included Inchgallop Scotch whisky as a component in the popular Bell's blend. The vast majority of whisky produced at the distillery, as much as 99%, is used as a blending component. In 1985, Guinness acquired the distillery, and following the merger with the Grand Metropolitan, Inchgallop is currently under the watchful eye of Diageo. Despite being a relatively small-scale distillery, Inchgallop boasts 13 on-site warehouses which hold up to 60,000 casks. There have been very few official releases. We have one. Though independent bottlings are available.
So we're very fortunate to have
this. We are very fortunate. Quite a unique drama. Thank you.
Absolutely.
I had no idea it was so special, so yay.
Yay for you.
Yeah.
Hooray.
Good job.
So that's quite interesting about the distillery. It doesn't normally have quite much information about. Have you got any crack about that area?
Bucky's a lovely wee town, full of fishing boats.
I knew you were going to say.
Full of fishing boats. And I got all, when I had the Shellig Bree, our sort of last proper fishing boat, I got all my electronic equipment from a wee supplier at Bucky.
Mm-hmm.
Went, drove down to Bucky, did a lot of fender kicking, and took my gear. Got a couple of free mugs, they're still there somewhere.
Oh, cool. Mm. Now, of course, we've got to have, who would you have for your dram? So, Dan, I'm going to start with you.
Well, what's interesting is Stacey already mentioned the person I was thinking of, and that's our friend Captain Steve Hodder on Cowichan Bay on Vancouver Island. And the reason is because when I think of whiskey, I always think of Steve because he's got quite a big collection. And when they did their tour of Scotland, he got held over for quite a long time in customs because he had more than what is considered a personal amount as he was going back to Canada. And it's still considered quite a spectacular collection, although I think that there's only really one dram left in each bottle.
It was so many years ago now that they've gone through most of it. But just for the record, they spent an extra $800 in duty on the whiskey they brought back.
I am proud.
And Canada duties are pretty lean.
That's probably paid for the A9.
He's the one I'd like to drink my whiskey with.
Excellent. Stacey, who are you having? Was it him?
No.
Good.
No, actually, I've changed my mind since we first thought of this. And the person I would like to have a dram with is Dan's brother, Thor. So, again, waiting for immigration. And for your listeners that have been with you a long time, you will know that I was waiting for immigration from Canada to the United States while Dan was working in North Carolina. And two winters ago, I was living with Dan's parents in Victoria, and they started a family tradition of the alcohol advent calendar. So every day from December 1st to John's birthday, which is December 27th, we had a different drink after dinner.
Cool. I like this.
I think everybody should take this.
Yes. So it's become a family tradition, you know.
Yeah.
And
I think it's now Caitlin's craft tradition.
Well, excellent. And I know that, you know, that season is still a couple months away, but it just, this...
It's plenty of time to save up to buy all the drafts.
Exactly right. It just made me think of Thor and the fun times we had having some drinks together.
Perfect.
So. And yes, my brother's name really is Thor.
Yes.
Cool, I didn't do for a second. That's cool.
Does he have a beard?
No. And he doesn't look anything like a Norse
Lay
star.
Lay down.
I love you, Thor.
We all
Richard,
do.
Who are you having?
Well, after a very long, long, hard thing, I'm having two people. First of all, I'm going to have William Henry Hoover. And I'm going to have James Dyson. So they can debate about the concept of hoovering and modern products that help them hoover.
That's fantastic. Thank you very much for that, because you know it's me that does it all in here. I was actually doing it just before Dan and Stacey turned up.
And explain to us what it means in other countries.
Yeah, sorry listeners of abroadness. In Scotland it just means putting the vacuum cleaner around. You can think of what it wants, you want it to mean in your country. And it's funnier if you do. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, ask.
Probably just as well.
Damn. Right.
Who are you having?
I'm going to have the man in the moon.
What?
The man in the moon?
Yeah, because he's shining his light on me just now. Or rather, he was. He seems to have disappeared behind a cloud. But
wait, eat some cheese.
but there was a cool moon last night, and just behind your head, the moon was shining, and it's not full moon by any, it's a gibbous moon just now, and it was really quite cool, and the man was winking at me.
Did you know that Mars is the only known planet to be completely habitated by robots?
Yes, I did. I saw the same thing the other day.
That was really cool.
That tweet yesterday, yes.
Yes. So, thank you very much for coming around, and thank you so much for buying us this extremely interesting dram. It's been a wonderful pleasure. So, Sandra. Thank you once again, Stacey, for making Dan come up to Caithness. It was great crack to have a podcaster listener who appreciates the drams to star on it.
Shoppy section.
The shop... Well, no. It's again empty. As I said, I've made 9 bags and 3 were presents and the rest sold out. Some before going to the shop and the rest the same day. And again, I'm very pleased with this. We will be restocking it shortly with a bit of Black Watch, lots of Robertson, Macintosh, because I cut them yesterday. And listeners, here's the list. Mackenzie, Macintosh, Farquharson, Hunty McLean, Buchanan, McGregor, McLeod, Hunter, Red McPherson, Robertson, Black Watch and Bruce. So please let me know if any of the aforementioned tartans is up your street, because we'll cut them next. And I thought, this is terrible, I thought I had all but finished the Mackenzie, and then I find my mum cutting it up yesterday. She said it had fallen down the back of her table, and she found it. So Trine, I'm sorry. That'll only make sense to Trine. But if you feel that you want to contribute to my continued running of the podcast and get stuff back, then please go visit www.etsy.com/shop/Caithness Craft. And if you favourite it, you will get the update when I actually put stuff in. Because there's nothing in just now. But there will be. My mum is working like a demon.
Blah, blah, blah section.
Thank you very much for listening. I very much appreciate you taking the time to download and then listen to me splaff on from the bedroom. My email is caithnesscraftcollective@gmail.com. I'm on Ravelry as Louise Hunt, Etsy, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, Facebook as Caithness Craft, and you can access the Flickr photos from LouiseJ2010 or via Podbean site as www.caithnesscraftcollective.podbean.com. The photographs are down the right hand side. The music, I think, will be the last time that we've got Mark Gunn's Wild Mountain Time, because obviously summer is gone and I'm going to have to find another one. But you can go and buy this from www.musicalley.com. Thank you for listening. Keep on going. Together to pull wild mountain time all around. Will you go? I see you go. Will you go? I see you go. Will you go?